Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Here we are.
At least one of us.
Well, I think two of us, actually.
No, you've got your mind elsewhere.
I don't, though.
Yes, you do.
Negative.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider. No, you got your mind elsewhere.
I request a tower flyby.
You know where your mind is?
Oh, tell me.
It's in the Twitter gutter.
It's the twutter.
That's going to be the new service. Gutter.
Twutter?
Gutter.
What did I call it? I called it Twitmin or something in an email to somebody earlier. I don't know. Twitville. Twitville, actually, is what I call it. Yeah.
Well, I want to take the reverse look on this thing. You know, when you're Twittering, it's not really Twittering. You're sending tweets. I want to do something that you would use for I want to connect to a service. I want to create a service even where you actually peep instead of tweet.
Or urinate. You pee.
No. Peep. Kind of like the peeps, the candy.
Pipper.
No, peeper.
There's a strip club named that, actually.
Or Pooper, and then peep.
There's a strip club named Peepers, actually. You've been there. You know.
Yeah, right. Peepers.
What did I used to say about Peepers? Where there's no cover, but there ought to be for the women. Anyway, ba-dum-boom. No cover, but $10 a beer. What are you looking around at? You're like looking as if we're being abducted by aliens or something.
Well, there was like this really low frequency rumble going on.
Wasn't hearing it.
Well, it's because your ears are shot.
Yeah. I'll filter it out.
Right. So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do a couple of news items here. Not really news items, though, because it's been going on for years.
Okay, what do you got?
I saw this this blog entry on, I think it was The Consumerist, and they announced it's official, newspapers are dying.
Really?
Yeah, this has been going on for years and years and years. But I guess the thing that's sort of sounding the death knell, so to speak, is that a couple of major newspapers are going under. Let's see, the ones that they're talking about here. The 146-year-old Seattle Post-Intelligencer is ending publishing. The Rocky Mountain News for, it's in Denver. And the Tucson Citizen are going under. Major newspapers, major national newspapers. Why you give me the what the F?
I don't see your Twitter window open.
My Twitter window will not be open.
Oh, just open the Twitter window.
For the duration of this show.
No, because I'm tweeting to you.
I'm sorry. I'm not getting that till after the show.
What did I just hit with that projectile?
The mic.
I think I did.
Okay. It's a good thing I have my spit shield up here.
Yes,
it protected me from
hit the mic,
from
though.
Debris. Yeah, so it looks like we've got newspapers dying all over the place. And you know what? I'm sorry that people are losing their jobs and crap.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
But
since, you know, I'm unemployed.
But I'm thinking that it's not really that big of a deal. It's about time. I think that they've been propped up far longer than they should have been. I mean, as far as sending news out there and being relevant, newspapers, I don't know. I don't think they've been around for a long time. As sad as it is, television news, radio news, they're the ones who are actually going out there reporting, even though they're not necessarily doing much. He's given me his little, I just did something funny look. And you know what? It's probably he pooped his pants. That's probably what it is.
Negative.
Yeah, I'll get it after the show. And I'm not going to look. Rich has found a new toy, and that new toy is Twitter. And you know what he's doing? He's trying to Twitter me across the room. He's sending stuff out into the ether thousands and thousands of miles away just so that it can come right back right across from my face.
Yep, and you got to log in to see it.
I'm not doing it.
You've got to, or else we can't podcast anymore.
Sorry.
Anyway, I think that's enough for the intro.
All right.
We got a tune?
We do.
Let's check it out.
From the top.
So
Summertime is coming, I got rambling on my mind. I aim to box up all my troubles and leave them far behind. Loaded up some stuff into my old Toyota car, a duffel bag of odds and ends, my traveling guitar. Well, I hit the highway doing 80, I was moving mighty fast, when I broke down outside of town on account of lack of gas.
Yes, queen.
Keep this country running clean and free. Pouring in and burning out, that's what gas is all about. It gets you to the place you need to be. Well, I got my trusty gallon jug and I hitched on back to town. Well, I was looking for the cheapest, leanest, meanest gas round. Texaco had 319, the best price that I found. Well, I only had $3, so I had to pour some out. Well, I was lighting up a cigarette when I heard the cashier shout, "How dare you waste a drop of gas? Ain't you heard we're running out?" Keep this country running clean and free. Pour in and burn it out. That's what gas is all about. It gets you to the place you need to be. Old Jack Clampett moved away when he struck the good black gold and bought himself a Hummer from the oil that he sold. Now everywhere you turn your head, everybody's got their own. Well, don't the world look pretty from on top of golden throne? But I heard the party's over, boys, I hate to kill the mood. The keg is tapped and we're plumb out of our precious bubbling crew. Keep this country running clean and free. Pour it in and burn it out. That's what gas is all about. It gets you to the place you need to be. Well, you can park your F-250 and break the key off in the lock, 'cause it'll cost you an Andrew Jackson just to drive it round the block. And pretty soon your pickup truck be about as good as Noah's Ark. The way things is going be cheaper to run it on Maker's Mark. Well, I drove my dually old back 40 on the fumes and the dregs. It'll make a handsome chicken coop, well, at least we'll get some eggs. Keep this country running clean and free.
From the top.
Good intro there.
That was my best impression of his intro to that song. That one was called Gasoline, or as our friends in Europe say, Petrol.
Petrol.
Who was that?
That was Justin Gordon.
Yes, it was.
And I still refuse.
And it's only because of the reason I put up on Twitter. I already explained it. You haven't seen it unless you looked on your phone, but...
I didn't see anything. I got nothing.
Yeah. You better have something, because this next segment is all you. You're, much like last week, mad as hell, and you're not going to take it anymore.
All right, here's the deal. I'm going to run down the list of things that ticked me off, and they're all about the same thing, and they've been happening recently. All right, first thing that happened, well, we've been talking about the copyright issue for a while.
Well, yeah, we've addressed it in many ways, many times.
Right, and then the Obama poster issue we talked about, and that sort of got me fuming, because that hits home to me, because, you know, it's like people are prevented from creating artwork for the fear of, you know, violating someone's copyright because a photograph might look almost similar to or was the inspiration for a painting. So that got me fuming. And then I heard about recently in New Zealand, here's what's going on. In New Zealand, they've got a copyright act. It's the New Zealand Copyright Act. I'll just put a link up on the show notes, where someone can actually have their internet access shut down, not if they violate copyright, but if they're accused of violating copyright. I mean, this is really significant.
You may have mentioned that like three shows ago.
I may
or
have
so. I
may
remember.
Have mentioned that happened, but it happened really recently. But But this thing really is a scary, slippery slope that we're going down here when all someone has to do is accuse you of doing something wrong and you get your internet access shut down. I mean, it's just nasty. We're not even talking about someone is looking at violating someone's human rights or someone is looking at threatening someone with violence. We're talking about you're accused of sharing files, okay? And you're getting your entire internet access shut down. I mean, I want to say this again. You're accused of something that is small, okay? And all of your rights on the internet are removed.
Revoked.
Right. The internet is no longer this thing where you read books.
I'm a revocator.
Right. It's not where you do research. It's not where you blog. It's not where you share information.
And it's certainly not where you Twitter.
It's not where I Twitter. But all of that is shut down. The government will shut you down, will censor you for not even doing anything wrong, but for the suspicion of doing something wrong. I mean, this is wide open. This can be abused in so many different ways. Someone ticks me off. I call someone up. This is an anonymous caller. I think Rich is sharing Metallica tunes on his computer, and I've got the IP address for you. He's shut down. It's sick. Of course, I have to do it in a New Zealand accent in order to make it right. But man, that is really scary. So, I mean, again, people should be fighting for this. And the thing that's really scary about it, the RIANZ, this is the Recording Industry Association of New Zealand, which is the moral equivalent to the RIAA in the United States. They're the ones who are advocating for this legislation. So this isn't like, you know, concerned citizens are fighting for this or members of parliament or however the New Zealand government works. This is just the recording industry wants to protect their stuff. And similar legislation has been proposed in Europe, and it's close to passing in France. And the same legislation is being proposed, and luckily it's getting shut down in the United States. But I don't think it's going to be long before those rights are shut down. Okay, so that, again, this thing's like another thorn in my paw. And Rich is writing about something probably inane on his Twitter. Or his tweet.
Tweeting, I don't know.
You're like Tweety Bird. All right. And so what else is going on in the copyright world? Oh, yeah. The Kindle. You hear about the Kindle?
Amazon.com's little book reading tool, device right. / thingy mabob.
Right. Amazon.com decided that instead of just selling books, they're going to try to promote book reading by actually creating a device for reading books. They got this e-ink, nice little display, high resolution e-paper, whatever it is. And they released the second edition of this device. They've got it wireless so that you can download books and read books. All in all, it sounds like a decent thing if you're into that kind of device. And one of the features that they thought that was innovative and great is if you've got a book and you want to, say, like take the Kindle and put it in your car or listen to it like on a flight or something, there's this computerized voice that will do a text-to-speech thing and it will broadcast into your ears. We're not talking about broadcasting across the world. It'll read the book to you, essentially. And this is a book that you bought, by the way. We're not talking about, books that you're stealing. You buy the books. They download into the Kindle. You've paid your money for the book, and it will read the book to you. Well, the authors, there's this authors guild. I can't remember what the specific guild is. Again, I'll throw some links on the show notes. These authors got together and they're rallying against this thing saying, hey, no. We're going to try to shut this thing down because these are, and this is their term, unauthorized performances of the books because they don't want the royalties for the audiobooks to be chewed up. Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. I actually heard about this from my friend Leo from The Neural Gourmet, and I think I told you about it. I mean, it's just absurd, I'm reading the book out loud. Let's say I were reading a hard physical book out loud. That means that's the same thing.
And this is, and I want to make this clear to people who aren't into the whole technology.
Books have been read aloud to me since I was in kindergarten.
And I want to make the distinction clear.
James and the Giant Peach.
This isn't like someone is copying the audio of an audio book that's been published.
And redistributing it or something.
Right. This is just taking the text and using the computer to read the text out loud, which is, again, the exact same thing that a person would do like a person, an adult person, reading the book out loud to their child. It's insane. What they're saying is that if I'm reading the book out loud to my kid, that's an unauthorized performance, and they can bust down the door with their jack boots and goon squad and take me away.
Goose-stepping the whole way.
Yeah, this is insane. I mean, all of these things are converging to just give me this giant headache that's saying that our rights as human beings to create and to express ourselves and to actually even consume, and I'm not, again, advocating consumerism is the best thing, but I want to consume media that artists are creating, and I want to choose whether I want to hear it out loud or not. After I've paid my $25 for the book on the Kindle, I'm not even allowed to hear it out loud. That's absolute insanity. Insane. I can't read the book to my kid now?
Yeah, I agree. Because
that's the next
completely.
Step. And then, well, the final straw.
Uh-oh.
The final straw that got me ticked off. Yeah.
There's only one left?
Marlo DK.
Wait. Oof. This is John's man crush. Which is, by the way, a phrase that I first heard while watching a sports show on SNY called Loudmouths. And last season, I think it was the second baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies. I forget his name, but he's in that commercial with the triathlete woman and they're training, and it's a commercial for some sports drink or something.
I have no idea. I don't watch your porn channels.
Well, keep talking for a second. Hang on. About. You just talk for a second.
Okay. So there's this guy, and I'm going to explain the background a little bit. There's this guy. He goes by the handle of Marlo DK. DK is in Denmark, I believe. And he's a bass player. He plays in a band. I think he's a really good bass player, really talented guy. Plays a lot of funk, and he's got a great collection of basses. But what he did is he put together this channel on YouTube where you can actually collect all of your videos and you get feedback. It's almost like your little mini site within YouTube. And he's shared hundreds of videos of him playing along with songs. He's also got lessons on there, like how to play certain riffs. You know, he slows them down and he shows you how to play some stuff. Not just playing the stuff that's in the songs, but
I
playing
think it's Chase Utley. I'm thinking
Chase,
of.
Oh, yeah, great player.
But on, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to interrupt. On Loudmouths, who's the guy on the left? Adam Schein. He gets very excited. He goes, "My man crush this week is Chase Utley." So apparently it's okay to have a man crush.
Well,
and your man crush is Marlo DK on YouTube.
I don't know if it would be a man crush, but I really admire the guy because he's talented and he does something that I wish that I could do.
Sounds like a man crush to me.
he does something that I wish I could do and has played the bass really, really well. I mean, I can play the bass not so well. So I'm looking at him saying, "Oh, this is great stuff." And he was one of the people who kind of inspired me and one of the sources of my inspiration to sort of get me to purchase a bass and actually try playing it. I wanted to do it for years and I finally did. And I used
years,
to
yeah.
Years and years and years.
We've talked about it 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I've looked at his feed and I've looked at all the videos because he constantly posted new things. And one of the things that I've done is I've watched his videos, got inspired. He's exposed me to some new music that I haven't heard before. And I've wanted to get better versions of those tracks. So I've actually bought the tracks that I've never heard before on iTunes. I've paid money for things that he exposed me to. I want to make this clear. If it wasn't for this guy, I would not have spent that money on commercial music. And then what did YouTube just do a couple of days ago or last week? They shut him down. YouTube shut this guy down, one of the more popular musicians on YouTube. They shut him down because he was playing along with commercial copyrighted tracks. He wasn't sharing files. He wasn't taking files and distributing them so that people can put on their iPods and listen to them. He was playing along, showing people playing the riffs. Sometimes he'd screw up. It wasn't the actual original track because he's playing over it, obviously. It's his performance. I guess the only beef that the RIAA would have is that it's an unauthorized performance, right? Just like the Kindle.
So are you saying Marlo DK owned a Kindle?
It's possible. But the thing is, what harm is this guy doing? If anything, he's actually doing the RIAA a favor in exposing people and getting them enthusiastic about music and making them, A, buy a bass, B, buy music so that I can try to learn those songs on the bass, get excited about funk. Well, I already had that. But anyways, and this guy, maybe it was a man crush, maybe he's my hero, I have no idea. But this guy got shut down. And what I'm loving seeing right now is over the past week or so, I'm seeing people coming to this guy's defense, and they're starting to post his stuff back up on YouTube, fighting the power, you know?
And
he's like, what's his name? Chuck D, fight the power.
Nat X. Saturday Night Live, remember that character?
Yes.
Now, have you come to Marlo DK's defense on YouTube?
I have not on YouTube, but what I've done is...
I like the butt.
The butt?
Cowardly little butt.
What?
Come on, post something in his defense. Get on YouTube right now. Post something in his defense.
I haven't made any videos in a while, so I'm putting something.
No,
in,
just a,
and I'm not
going to
put a slideshow up there because I've already talked about
just
how
a
I
text,
hate that.
Just a little message. What was Marlo DK's response to this? Did he say anything about this?
Oh, he's actually shocked and stunned. He's got his own website, which I do want to plug, by the way. It's playbasenow.com.
Let's check it out. Keep talking.
Yeah, Rich is going to check that out. He does have some videos on there of his own stuff still. But all the links to the YouTube material obviously shows up with that warning saying or that thing saying this is no longer available, was taken down or essentially what are there? You can look it up and find out what the
what
phrasing
is.
Play Bass Now. And that's BASS, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm telling the listeners. So what I did is, I found Larry Lessig. I've mentioned him before. He's got a blog and I think it's lessigblog.com, something like, again, I'll put it in the show notes. And he's a very famous legal mind that has been writing and defending these ridiculous copyright cases for years. And he posted something on his blog, and he posted this YouTube clip where someone made this whole new song by just splicing together all these different instruments and people playing on YouTube. Marlo DK is one of them, right? Marlo DK is one of these guys in that video. And so I posted on Lessig's blog, about what happened to Marlo DK and how it kind of ticked me off and how, it's ridiculous that they're cutting off their nose to spite their own face, which is the only way I can describe this. This guy actually caused me to spend money, and I'm no longer going to have access to his work. So anyways, I can breathe now. What are you showing me now?
Just that picture of Marlo DK.
Oh, yeah, take a look at him. He's a funky looking guy. Not the kind of guy, if he was walking down the street, you'd think, hey, he's got the funk. Then again, neither does Anthony Kiedis.
He doesn't have the funk. That's the difference.
He kind of does. I think
Flea has more of the funk than Anthony Kiedis.
Kiedis has some of the funk. Flea's got most of the funk. Chad Smith has a lot of funk. John Frusciante, not so much. He's got more of the punk, not so much of the funk.
Yeah, the drummer is like the hardest hitting drummer I've ever heard. He must have to replace snare heads every 5 minutes.
No, I think he's a monster.
All right, Neural Gourmet, Leo Lincourt says, it's good to see you guys tweeting while you record the show, which actually should read, it's good to see you, Rich, tweeting while you record the show. You need to have me back on again sometime. That's what Leo Lincourt from the Neural Gourmet says.
Maybe we'll have him back on right now, but I'm not installing Skype while we're recording.
You don't have it on this machine yet? You didn't install it yet?
It's on there.
Oh, okay. Bring up Twitter. Come on. It's not going to kill you. I mean, I don't get the resistance here. I'm not like,
All right. You know what I'm going to do?
I don't know what you're going to do.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to type T-W-I-T-T-E-R.
Actually, John typed titter. I don't know if that's a Freudian thing.
.com. And then I'm going to close my browser. I'm a tease.
Yeah, you are.
So anyways, what I think everyone should do is stand up, fight, because like I said before, I believe that what's happening right now is that little by little, all of our rights are going to be taken away. We talk about this a lot. We're talking about this in terms of, our freedoms are being limited because of, our
security. We need Bob Marley singing Freedom Song right now.
Redemption Song, even.
That's the one. Yeah, Redemption Song. That's the one I was thinking
of. So I'd play it, but you wouldn't let me because of the copyright. But he's dead. But then again, his estate probably controls quite a bit of money.
I have a friend who actually worked with his wife at Tuff Gong Studios.
Rita?
Yeah, yeah, down in Jamaica, man. I told the story. Somebody showed up with a bushel basket full of buds one morning, and they just, stayed high for the whole session. He was nominated for a Grammy, actually, working on a Rita Marley record, my friend Bob Bontempo, yeah.
So what I'm saying here is that, we talk about it before in terms of, the whole 9/11 scare thing where we have to give up some of our freedoms because we want security.
Well, I actually have a little story in a minute about
that. Well, the thing that really is bothering me now, and I think that many people may agree, who knows, that I think that we've got this whole issue of our artistic rights are being taken away. Our artistic rights are being limited. And artistic rights are not just creating art and getting paid for it. Artistic rights are being able to consume it and being able to receive the message that these artists are putting out there and grooving to it and then being inspired to create our own stuff. That's being limited. That's being shut down by this whole copyright nonsense, by this control and this need and this greed, really. So our artistic abilities are being limited. As a culture, we're being stifled. And I think eventually what's going to end up happening is there's going to be a major revolt. And I think weapons are going to be involved.
Wow. Hardcore, man.
It might come to that. Seriously.
Speaking of the post 9/11 culture, I know I told you this story, but I'm going to share it with the with our listening audience. I'm taking pottery class my second semester, and I went into class early a couple of weeks ago because I was bringing a friend who has a bad back, and she wanted to see if sitting at a wheel and working a wheel would be bad for her back because she hopes to someday take the class. So I get there a half hour early. And the teacher's there like she promised me she would be. But the head of the program, you know, no names, but the head of the program says, Rich, can I see you in my office? And I mean, this is an adult education, after hours, non-credit. But it's a non-credit
right.
college level course. It's adult education. You know, it's night school, if you will. And I'm like, what am I, in high school? I'm getting called to the principal's office? So my friend Dade stayed downstairs, and the instructor, you know, showed her around. And the head of the program called me upstairs, and he's talking to me. And he said, I just wanted you to know, somebody was really uncomfortable with something you said last week. And I said, example, what did I say? And there's this thing in pottery called a cutting tool, and it's a simple wooden tool, and it's what you use to cut the skirt away. It's kind of hard to explain. If you Google this, you might be able to find some visual examples. You cut the skirt away from your pot while it's still on the bat. The bat is the thing that you actually make the pot on. It's just the thing that sits on top of the pottery
disc.
Wheel. Yeah, it's a disc that sits on top of the pottery wheel that you can take off and then allow the pot to dry and then put another bat on the wheel and work on another object. And the wooden cutting tool needs to be fairly sharp. And after time, because it's wooden, they get dull. So you reshape them with sandpaper and you make them sharp again. So I had done that and I showed it to my teacher. And I said something like, and I don't remember exactly what I said, I'll admit that, but I said something like, geez, you know, this thing is so sharp, you could perform surgery with this thing. And apparently that's the line that scared, offended, created reason for concern.
Discomfort
in my instructor. And I was called to the principal's office for it. And I, you know, the head of the program is a great guy. He said, you know, I'm mentioning this because somebody else took it seriously. Since I'm the head of the program, I have to take it seriously. And, you know, we handled it like adults. It was fine. I said, fine, if you don't want me to make, you know, I think he said I had not gallows humor, but
macabre
humor. Yeah. And I said, fine, you know, if you don't want me to make macabre jokes anymore, I won't. A, you're the head of the program. I respect you. And B, you can kick me out. But anyway, I just let him know, you know, I fundamentally disagree with the reason behind this. I mean, I went on to tell him I choose to live in a post 9/11 world where my life isn't dominated by paranoia and fear. And I think, you know, and then he tried to throw that argument back in my face like people tend to do. He's like, yeah, but, you know, he got the index finger up in front of my face. But, yeah, we do live in a post 9/11 world. And I go, but that's a choice. You can choose to be paranoid and choose to be fearful, or you can choose not to be paranoid and choose not to be fearful. So to say that the world is different is it's a false statement. The world is different because you're choosing to make it a different world. I'm not.
What saddens me like a lot about that story and that when you told me about that, I was really, really disappointed, not because of what happened. Obviously, it's ridiculous that someone would take something that you said like that, innocuous, silly humor.
And it was relevant because I was talking about the sharpness of
right.
an object, which she had said she was going to teach us how to do anyway.
Right. I mean, someone would take something like that. I mean, it might not be funny to someone, but to take that so out of context and be offended by it, it says a lot more about the person than it does about the person saying it. The person receiving it has got a lot more fears. But what really, really, really bothered me about that is the setting in which it was taking place. This isn't a place where you're producing artwork. It might be considered a craft. I consider that artwork. You're in an artist environment where people are expressing themselves. And if you're going to be now, and I don't know if you are, you tend to speak your mind, if you're going to be stuffed down to this hole where you're afraid for what you have to say because you don't want to get in trouble, This is not conducive to expression. This is not conducive to creating artwork.
No, I agree. And yeah, I mean, I am thinking about what I'm saying now just because I don't want to get kicked out of the program. I've got money into it and I'm really finally finding my groove with this pottery thing. And, you know, Jesus, if I say something like Jesus, like I just did, Jesus, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to kick me out? And I mean, and I told him, I said to the head of the program, I said, you know, I heard things last semester, you know, that according to the sexual harassment classes, the training that we took at my last job would easily, potentially anyway, have qualified for sexual harassment had the woman complained, for example. I heard men saying things to women that easily, if the woman complained, could have been construed as a form of harassment, and the man should certainly have been warned according to this class in sensitivity that we took. And his response to that was, well, you know, this is an adult education class and it's after hours. I expect a little of that. Oh, okay.
But someone can't make a silly comment about
an object that's actually sharp and supposed to be, which is relevant to the object, you know?
Well, it's like,
and I told him, I said, you know, I was way more offended. As an individual, I wouldn't have considered saying what I heard this man say. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, so that's what we've really come to. We allow people to be degraded individually, but we can't say something which is just silly and without taking it as a threat or a threat of harm or violence.
Yeah, if I had said, this object is so smart I could cut your heart out with it, okay, fine.
I could cut your heart out with it, bitch. I mean, that would have been...
Yeah, that you know, and eat it and consume it. You know, that might have been a warning flag, you know, but this was just so innocuous and harmless. And
oh, man. Well, you know what? I think from now on, you got to start talking nasty, talking trash, talking like, you know, you're a male chauvinist pig, because obviously you can get away with that stuff. And really, maybe this is how it's been. You know, we've got this pendulum swinging on one side where sex and violence in films and television is accepted, but, you know, not too much sex. Well, now we're going the other way where violence is really the thing that's the threatening thing, but we can talk about sex all we want and we can degrade women. You know?
Well, it reminds me of a Saturday Night Live episode where they were kind of addressing the sexual revolution back in the early crew, the 76-ish, 1976-ish years, and Steve Martin was the host, and they were playing like a futuristic game show and they were wearing like clothes like the Jetsons would wear. And, you know, ultimately I remember Steve Martin, you know, hey, here's our contestant from Buffalo, New York, Wendy or something. And she told her story, you know, I'm a school teacher, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, hey, cool, yeah, we should get together after the show for some sex, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we're really there right now, you know. I mean, you could say that to somebody certainly at spring break, for example, or something like that.
Turn on MTV spring break and you see all sorts of stuff like that.
Girls Gone Wild, whatever. But, I mean, that's actually where we're at now. Yet, you know, I can't say that this object, which is supposed to be sharp, which I just sharpened, is sharp.
Well, yeah. I have a feeling that this is actually going to be expressed in other ways, because what happens in society when you repress a natural instinct, what happens is that instinct explodes.
Yeah. Well, and if it comes down to a fundamental disagreement, if they choose to tell me that I can't do that anymore, and you know, in other words, if it gets bigger, if their suppression of free speech, or however you want to put it, becomes ridiculous, it'll just be like, you know what, you guys can just stick it up your ass. You know, yeah. I don't need your pottery class that bad. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure you can find somewhere else to do it, even though I'm sure it's a fine facility.
It's a wonderful facility. Yeah. And, you know, the things that I have at my disposal are amazing. So hopefully it won't come to that, you know. And again, I made it clear. We disagree on this fundamentally. I think you're a paranoid weirdo. The person who complained was a paranoid weirdo. I know who it was, but I'm not supposed to know who it was, because he was saying it wasn't who it was to defend who it was.
Right.
Anyway, we got another tune?
Yeah. Fight the Power.
Let's check it out.
Say what you
That all about, man? Tell
it's,
me.
That's kind of like 70s kind of punk. Glam so, punk.
Yeah, it's kind of glammy punk.
Yeah, good stuff. That was Red Planet with No Force.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Good stuff.
You know what movie I saw? And you know, there's really not much to say about it. It's already out on video. Most people have actually seen it by now, but have you seen Milk?
I have not seen Milk.
Sean Penn, Academy Award winning performance.
But it's one of the films that I do want to see quite a bit.
It's about a guy.
Don't tell me how it ends.
You know how it ends. Harvey Milk, a guy who was a...
Oh, I thought he got bit by the spider and he could get superpowers and stuff.
Yeah. Harvey Milk was an openly gay man. I think he was originally from New York and he moved to the Castro, which was a part of San Francisco. Where a lot of homosexuals lived and could live their lifestyle with a little less discrimination and harassment. And he was a man who decided he wanted to run for, was it a county seat? It was a, what was his title?
Supervisor or something like that.
He ran for many seats. He lost many times and he finally won. And that allowed him to put into effect, you know, gay rights legislation or anti-discrimination legislation, whichever way you want to put it. And, of course, it ultimately ended up with his assassination by a deranged fellow county supervisor, played by Brolin.
James Brolin?
Yeah, the No Country for Old Men guy.
Yeah, and the guy who killed Harvey Milk at the time, he also at the same time killed the mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah, whose name was Moscone. Yep. And it's really weird because I have a friend who does a lot of corporate audio. He does audio for conventions and things like that. And, you know, one day I was talking to him on the phone. He goes, yeah, I'm at the Moscone Convention Center in San Francisco. And I honestly didn't know. I said, was Willie Moscone born in San Francisco? I thought it might have been named after the pool player. Right. Of course, after I've seen this film, now I come to realize that it was named after the mayor who was killed, you know, before. He was actually the first one assassinated.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And then he walked down Harvey Milk's office and assassinated him. It's really a tragic story, but, I mean, it's an amazing story at the same time. Because it's real. I mean, again, it's another one of these things where reality is so much more. No writer could have written that story. I mean, it's like Dog Day Afternoon. Who could have written that? You know, the reality is often so much more interesting than fiction. And, you know, just like the rights for African Americans, which, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, his assassination in the 60s, you know, we're not there yet. You know, we're not there yet. There's still, I mean, Sean Penn talked about it when he accepted his Academy Award. There were so many protesters and hateful people outside of the Kodak Theater in L.A. protesting against, for lack of a better word, you know, homosexuals. And Sean Penn addressed them directly and said, you know, your grandchildren will be ashamed of you. You know, 40 years from now, your grandchildren are going to be ashamed of you. He said something like that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that. But this was a strong performance. And as much as I kind of wanted somebody else to win Best Academy Award, Sean Penn's an amazing talent. I mean, he really is. He's an artist. I mean, he's an artist who—
Absolutely.
I remember seeing him on, I think it was Inside the Actor's Studio, and like he doesn't like, yes, he played— he played the pot smoking guy, you know, Ridgemont High, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Spicoli, you know, he's played those roles. But since then, he's taken acting very seriously. And while he's proud of that role in it, you know, it certainly bought him food for a while. I just remember him on Inside the Actor's Studio saying something like, it's too important a medium to take lightly, you know. And not that I necessarily agree with that completely. I like a good comedy and Spicoli's funny.
But you have to understand, and I'm sure you do, that the best comedies, they are actually brilliant performances.
Well, and they are also can be tragic at the same time. Well, there's comedy and tragedy, and there's tragedy and comedy. I mean, look at Shakespeare.
There's no such thing as comedy without a little bit of truth and tragedy mixed in.
Absolutely.
I mean, no joke.
The great Bard. Who did it better than him? By the great Bard, I mean...
I thought you were talking about the great Bart Simpson.
By the great Bard, I mean Joan Collins' sister, the romance novelist. Right. I can't think of her name.
Well, the thing that... Again, I haven't seen this, but the thing that I heard about Sean Penn's performance, and again, one of my favorite things to do is listen to NPR, I heard someone talking about being on set and some of the people who knew Harvey Milk in person. They worked with him or they were friends of his. They visited and they were watching Sean Penn do some of his work while they were filming, and they had to leave the set because
he was
so much like him.
Well, I mean, it was sort of like Andy Kaufman. You know, I'm not a big fan of
Jim Carrey,
but his performance as Andy Kaufman killed it.
Right.
Killed it. Nailed it. Yep. And Danny DeVito said the same thing. He said on set, there were moments where he was almost brought to tears because Jim Carrey gave us back Andy Kaufman for a month or 2 months or however long the filming took. And the performance was eerily scary. And they showed some footage of Harvey Milk. And I know nothing about him until I saw the film. And he captured the essence of the man very well. And you know, for people who are into current politics, when you watch the film, the person who announced that the assassination of the mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk happened was someone named Dianne Feinstein,
right,
who was a member of the local politics, the county politics at the time, and who now is a California senator.
You
so
know what?
She's risen through the ranks.
You just jogged my memory. I think she was the one who was on
it was her, on
NPR who was talking about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I mean, Harvey Milk may have died in 1978 or whatever year that was. But, I mean, you know, not to sound cliched, but he's not dead in the sense that people like Dianne Feinstein are still out there fighting for the rights of the oppressed and things like that. And, you know, definitely an amazing performance, something you should see.
And it's a shame that people have to die in the tragic way that he did. But unfortunately and fortunately, it also causes people to wake up and realize how wrong some of these things are.
It's like an NDE.
An NDE?
Near-death experience.
Well, exactly.
When people have these NDEs, they wake up and they suddenly realize the roses are much more interesting smelling than the Porsche 911 is to drive or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
And back to our last segment, the same thing. You know, we don't realize just how many rights of ours are eroding until something major happens.
Yeah.
And I think that what's going to happen is something's – and I wasn't really joking too much about the violence and the weapons thing. But seriously, something's going to happen where our rights are eroded so badly and our society is going to be suppressed so badly because of the greed that some explosion is going to happen. Someone's going to be killed.
I've been predicting this since the bulletin board days. Yeah. I've been predicting this since I had my bulletin board. You know, we're going down a road where we're going to – and I used to say this. We're going to have another Kent State. Which was people are going to be protesting and the government is going to act out and people are going to be killed for them trying to express their rights as individuals and rights as, you know, under the Constitution of the United States of America.
And in this society, we're filled with consumerism. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Is that
crass consumerism, which is my favorite term from Goodbye Lenin.
Right.
Crass consumerism.
Our society is so focused on consumerism. What might end up happening is that the people who are consuming are going to be prevented from consuming the things that they want, and they're going to have some sort of riot. Maybe
that's not the riot I'm hoping for, though.
I'm not either, but maybe that's going to be the thing that's going to spark people waking up and saying we can't be suppressing the rights of people to receive information.
This economic 9/11 that we've had is sort of causing people to wake up. I actually hear economists criticizing capitalism as an economic system now.
Right.
I've seen it on the news. People are actually questioning the
conservative Republicans are calling for regulation. This is like cats and dogs sleeping together.
Yeah, we've had kind of an economic 9/11, and I think this huge downturn in the economy is going to cause – I mean, look, you know, the policies, the Reaganomics policies failed. We had them for 30 years. They finally crashed. It's time for something new. Anyway, I mean, you know, we're way off track there. But Milk, check it out. Some amazing performances, and, you know, you'll be touched by this film, definitely. And I can't believe that there were people behind me when there were men kissing going, oh, my God, that's disgusting. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You came to a film about a gay man? You didn't expect this? Hello?
Yeah.
You
know what that is?
I don't know.
That's the klaxon warning people.
It is. Anyway, this is Rich Wilgus.
And I am John Tallarico.
This is Rich the Tweet Wilgus, actually.
Yeah.
And John the Dick Tallarico. I've been called worse. You've been listening to another fine episode of Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
Send us feedback to feedback@bloodyveg.com and stay off the tweeter.
No, go to Twitter. Rich Wilgus is my tweet. Follow me. Follow John. His name is Jifka, J-I-F-K-A. And you'll see him tweeting on future shows.
I might tweet once per year. It'll be annual tweet.
You'll be tweeting or there'll be violence. Speaking of an upheaval.
Oh, great.
Anyway, you've been listening to the VIB.